Shalom, this is Eli Rothberger from Yom Kippur Pesach Clifton. We are continuing our Daf HaShavua Insights to the Daf series. Today's shiur is going to be on Seches Brachos Daf Lamed Zayin, and is going to be covering the topic of schnitzel. Why not? Schnitzel is a very, very popular food these days. We just had an entertainer in camp who goes by the name Dr. Schnitzel. I saw there were schnitzel builders around. And it's one of these foods that has really, really taken off on. Interesting thing, though, is the issue is, bracha-wise, it might create a little bit of a problem, as we're going to be seeing in the sugya which we're going to be learning today. Now, to proceed to introduce the sugya, we have a comment just to mention that there's a concept in brachos called ikar v'tafel. And that basically goes and says the following. We have an idea that when you have two foods that are mixed together, cooked together, eaten together, we don't necessarily make a bracha on each particular thing of food. For example, when a person just has coleslaw with mayonnaise, a person isn't going to make a hadama on the coleslaw and a shahakol on the mayonnaise. When a person has french fries and ketchup, they don't make a shahakol on the ketchup and a hadama on the french fries. Rather, you make only one bracha. And the way the concept works is, ikar and tafel, is that the ikar takes to the food, takes on the category of the ikar. We're not viewing it as two separate foods, you know, ketchup and french fries, but rather one separate food of french fries, which happens to have a little ketchup on it. And because of that, that food is only going to generate one particular bracha. Now, how do we determine an ikar? So when it comes to most foods, the determination for an ikar is volume and amount. And basically, no matter what type of food, in your classic ikar v'tafel, let's take your coleslaw and your dressing, or your french fries and your ketchup, there's going to be much more cabbage than mayonnaise dressing in a coleslaw. There's going to be, hopefully, a lot more french fries than ketchup in the order that you're paying $4 for the actual potato, which costs 30 cents, but let's not get there. I know, Daf HaShavua does not take responsibility for those editorial comments. But anyways, so in terms of volume, volume is basically what speaks as far as ikar and tafel is concerned. However, we see in our Gemara tells us, quoting the words of Shmuel, and the words of Shmuel are the following. Shmuel says, "Kol shigish bo mechameshes minei dagan." Any food that contains in it an amount of the five types of grain, which are chita saora, kusemesh, shibolashua, b'shvifo. Wheat, barley, spelt, rye, and oats. Nivarchan Allah, borei minei mezonos. You make a borei minei mezonos. And basically, what we see from this halacha in Shmuel, and this is later brought down in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Reish Dalid, halacha Yibbez, Mishnah Berurah there as well, that the concept of the chamishas minei dagan, the importance lying from the fact that they're from the Shiva Saminim, is that these Chamishas Minei Dagon will constitute an Ikar even if they are the minority. Even if they are the minority. As long as they impart a certain amount of taste, and this is what the Mishnah Berurah says, V'dafka b'chamisha minei dagon amrinan d'hecha d'leik, sorry, d'hecha that the chamisha minei dagan, when they come and create, or when they come in the middle of a food, what they do is they are there and they created ikar, even if it's in the minority. There's a certain element about these five types of grain, Shmuel is saying, that will propel them to the status of ikar, even though proportionally and physically it is not the main food. The question is, where does this come from? What is this based on? And there are actually two opinions brought down in the Rishonim. One opinion is brought down by Tosos and Brachos. Tosos and Brachos, Daf Lamed Vav, Dibur HaMaskul Kol writes, Shenosim kemach lesoch shkedim, she'osim lecholah. So im osin oso kedei she'yisod halev, Asarach levarach b'raymini mizonos. Brings down a case where they were giving almonds to somebody who was sick, and they added flour. They said that the flour is there to help sustain the person, to give extra sustenance or nutrition to the food. So then, you'd have to make a bar mei mezonos, because we see, according to Tosos, the reason why the chamishe dagan, minei dagan, are so important and take on the ikar status is because they have the power to sustain like other foods do not. And their power to sustain works from the fact that, even if it's in the minority, as long as it's there and it's giving nutritional value and sustenance, that is enough to propel into an ikar. The Rashba brings down another reason, was brought down by the Rambam as well, and it is Kedila Hakshir Ulameyav Beitaima. As far as it's there to give taste, that they're very strong foods, very important foods. And as long as their taste is in there, that is enough to repel it. And the truth of the matter is, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like both. Shulchan Aruch goes and paskins like both, sorry about that, and mentions both particular reasons. Where do we see this? One is in Reish Dalet Siman Yud Beis, that the Shulchan Aruch writes on the Irev Litein Tam B'Tah Roves Harehu Ikar, and the Mishnah Brura also brings down Yemun Balet Tzalhatim L'Hakshir Es HaTavshim. So we see that this concept, I'm sorry, the Mishnah Brura also brings down in Siman Reish Ches Posif Katan Ches. So it says, and she writes over there, Shem Nosan Min Dagan L'Davko. Somebody puts flour into a food to make it stick. Who bought a betavshil? We came in shlobala hatim below lisod alev. Rakshi a tavshil medubak. So what do we see? We see that this is both concepts are brought down. And my conjecture, you know, why they need to paskin like both? So the truth is, if you didn't paskin like both, and the idea was Tom, then maybe you could say something like a spice or like a garlic or a pepper that might create an ikar also, because that Tom is really really strong. You know, with something we would call a davar harif in another halacha, in Yeridayan, in terms of Tarovis and Shulchan Aruch, like that, we do see that those cases, that type of a tam, that is something where we do see that tam is essential. We also know that when it comes to Hilchos Bittel, in Hilchos Tarovis, that tam is not batel. Sorry, that tamlin is not batel. Because, again, it's something that imparts a tremendous amount of time. So therefore, the fact that the Shulchan Aruch brings down both, you have something which is, in the Shulchan Aruch's opinion, I believe, characteristic only to the Chamisha Minei Dagon. Not only does it impart time, but it also has this power of sustaining. Now, as far as this is concerned, the Sefer Pnei HaShulchan brings down that there was a chakira that was brought down, and basically that is this an automatic principle? Is it automatic that if such a food, if a chamisha min dagan comes in there, and it's there not to provide stickage power, for example, you want to go ahead and put some a little bit of flour or breadcrumbs into the meatballs so the meatballs don't fall apart, that's not what we're talking about. But if you want to go ahead and you happen to add a lot of breadcrumbs into something, or, for example, say gefilte fish has a lot of matzah meal in it, and sometimes it's fortified with the matzah meal. The question is, does it automatically take on this status if it's giving tam, where you can actually taste it, and it's giving sustenance, nutritional value? Does that automatically make it a bar mitzvos, or is it something that you have to have in mind to have both? And nafka mina would come up, let's say, for example, in meatballs and also in schnitzel. Because again, the question is, why are we putting this breading or these breadcrumbs inside? So if you're going to tell me that, first of all, the whole idea of sustenance and such, and the idea of imparting tam is there as well, then perhaps if you went ahead and took a meatball and you put a bunch of breadcrumbs in it where you can actually taste the breadcrumbs, or you made a meatloaf where you put it in terms of doing that, that would go ahead and say, you know something? That would say that maybe you need to make a mezonos. However, If your mind wasn't in that, and your mind was just, and your mind was just to go ahead and your mind was just to go ahead and have it there as a binder, then that wouldn't be the case. As far as schnitzel is concerned, so this is already a halacha that's brought down by a number of the later poskim, and I believe it's the Shevet Halevi, or Rav Ozner writes, that the bracha on schnitzel is going to be shahakal, even though you have the breading. And yes, the breading does add sustenance, and for those who are trying to lose weight, it does add calories. And it also goes and definitely adds a taste. However, the main idea is it's still, you're not eating schnitzel for the breading. The haraya, you don't just fry breadcrumbs. You're doing it as an enhancer for the schnitzel. And in fact, the Sefer, the Horus Nosson, they also write that, the idea of having breadcrumbs for schnitzel is so it doesn't stick in the pot. Because if you go ahead and stick chicken cutlets in the pot and try to fry them, it's not going to work. The only reason why you're putting it in there is that even though, lamaisa, it is adding calories and it is adding taste, but since your das is not for that, your das is really for other reasons, such as making sure that it doesn't stick, so then that would also make it a shahakal. Perhaps the only reason, or the only time, that they would say, or that one could maybe argue, that you would make a mizonos, is in a situation where there's a shortage. And like, for example, when there's a little bit of research in terms of food, it looks up into the history of meatloaf. Meatloaf, I know, as a kid when I was growing up, meatloaf was one of those things that just kind of made you stick out your tongue and say, like, ugh, it's meatloaf again. However, there is a following to it. It's a big non-Jewish diner food. And where did it gain its popularity? It gained its popularity actually in World War II. And the reason where it gained its popularity is because foods were rationed, and a cook needed to go and make the food that they had go extra further. And the way you did it was you took breadcrumbs and added it in to the meat mixture as well. So if you're looking in terms of making sure that the food goes a little bit further, you're in a very, very tight budget and you have to stretch things, so then already you're putting it in there not just to hold something together, but your das in that case is having the food, and that's why it's brought down. Just looking for the right name over here. It's brought down in the Sefer or Letzion, then in that case, you would be making a mizonos on that type of thing. So just to conclude, they give two reasons why the Chamish Shemini Dagon is considered an Iker, even though, as far as percentage is concerned, it's not necessarily an Iker. And that is, it provides nutritional value, and it also provides taste. But it's brought down, as it's brought down in the Pnei HaShulchan, we see that Das does depend, and because Das does depend, that's why some contemporary posting like Rosner and Horus Nassan come and say that Schnitzel is going to be Shahakal, because it's either there for preventing stickage of the pot, even though it's tasted and such and such, or you're still going to consider it to be a piece of fleishik, and that's something as well. If you want to go ahead and just fry plain breadcrumbs, in addition, but you do have brought down that when it comes to stuff like adding in breadcrumbs to make up a mess because there's a shortage of meat, in that case, one would say a mizonos. Kol Tov, have a wonderful day.